Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Technical evangelist Chris Avis welcomes principal security architect Man Wen to the show as they discuss how Microsoft IT created a process to track, manage, and report PCI compliance at Microsoft while leveraging System Center, Windows Server, and SQL Server solutions. Tune in as he shares with us ways in which his team is supporting PCI requirements as well as best practices for your organization. Chris, the mic is yours.
Good day, everyone. This is Chris Avis with Microsoft, and we are at TechNet Radio today. We're going to be speaking with Man Wen. He is a principal security architect with Microsoft. He is on the information security and risk management team. Man has over 15 years of experience in the computing security field doing compliance management, database security assessments, penetration testing, and a whole lot more. Thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Man, and welcome to TechNet Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's do a little bit of level setting here. You work on a team called the Information Security and Risk Management Team. I understand there's kind of a sub-team for that that you work on. Why don't you just give us an idea of what your role is, what you do, and maybe a quick day in the life of Man Wen?
Sure. So my team is actually called ACE Security Team. So we're a small sub-team under the ISRM. Large umbrella.
Can you define ACE for us real quick?
Sure. So ACE stands for Assessment, Consulting, and Engineering. What we specialize in initially was coding best practices. We work with a lot of with SDL, so the Secure Development Lifecycle. We work with infrastructure security also. We initially started with working with internal line of business applications, and then through the years, through our successes, we've kind of expanded our capabilities. And what we cover now is a little bit more than in the beginning. So we work with Active Directory security. We work with application security, database security. And I think what's going to be really important for this talk is the governance and risk and compliance space. So specifically, we cover HIPAA security, SOX 404, and PCI DSS.
Okay. So with that, define PCI DSS for us.
Sure. So PCI DSS is the payment card industry's data security standard. So it's kind of a small consortium of large credit card providers. It includes anywhere from Visa, MasterCard, American Express. And what they've done is they've come together and they've designed a set of standards that all of the merchants and service providers must adhere to. So these are the data security standard requirements. So there's actually 12 of them, and we're at the current version of 2.0. So that's kind of what you're subject to if you are dealing with customer credit card information.
Okay. And so are we going to be today talking about Microsoft taking in credit card information from customers or what Microsoft offers to our customers to help them deal with the PCI DSS piece of this?
Yes. So what I really wanted to share with to our audience is how we've kind of tackled all of the challenges that we faced. I mean, over the years, we've made errors here and there, and we've learned a lot from our own mistakes, and we're hoping to share those challenges and also share some of the key lessons learned and how we've overcome and streamlined our solutions to meet those PCI DSS requirements. But specifically today, we're going to cover PCI DSS requirement 10 and then also 11.5. So just to set your expectation.
Okay, great. Well, then let's dive into it. What has Microsoft developed to address some of the challenges? Actually, give us some of those challenges and then tell us some of the things that Microsoft has done to address those challenges to comply with some of the PCI DSS standards.
Okay, so this is what we started with. So we've, over the years, I've had a lot of experience with working with internal business units, and some of those business units were taking in credit card information. And, you know, we have to take in money somehow, so credit card is a great way to do that. So when PCI DSS came along, it was a new territory for us. We had to literally start from scratch. And what we've done was we've kind of identified some of the challenges through those key learnings. And I'll kind of list some of the learnings or some of the challenges. And I'll start with, I think the first one would be very important, is going to be figuring out where your status is. So what I mean by that is PCI DSS defines multiple levels of your PCI status. So for us, Microsoft, some of the business units were taking in credit cards, and the number of transactions exceeded over 6 million transactions per year. So that kind of puts us at a level one with PCI. So with level one, you are subject to a quarterly scan by a QSV, and then also an annual audit by a QSA. So those are qualified security assessor, and then the QSV is a qualified scanning vendor. So at level one, you're pretty much scrutinized very highly. So we've learned that figuring out what status you're at will kind of define what controls you have to put in place. So that would be kind of the first challenge that you have to overcome. I think the second challenge would be establishing a budget. A lot of people underestimate how much time and effort goes into developing controls to meet these requirements. And I think the lack of control framework or an improper mapping of controls to compliance requirements, such as PCI DSS, will be a challenge for most customers. Documentation is also important. So you really need to know where your controls are. It's always good to have some sort of an inventory of what feature sets you have with your technology solutions that you currently have in place. I think most of the customers that we've kind of worked with, both internally, such as retail point of sale, and then also e-commerce, what we've found is that there may be there's no exercise in scope limitation. So what I mean by that is when a customer knows that they're subject to PCI DSS, they think that, oh, we're going to just make the whole environment PCI DSS compliant. So I think that is kind of a way to really cause a lot of work for yourself. So the first exercise that you want to do after determining what PCI level you're at is to really understand your credit card environment. So once you figure out your environment and limit your scope, I think that's when you can actually go and map out the controls that needs to be in place, and then kind of rule out unnecessary data processing environments that don't have anything to do with credit card information or have anything to do with PCI DSS. I think one of the major pain points that would be important here is also the network segmentation. That's going to be one of the key things that your QSAs will look for, is a properly networked that is segmented away from the corporate environment and away from your DMZ and where you actually are processing credit card data. So network segmentation is very important. I think you should
real quick, just to follow up on that. So I'm actually kind of interested in that because I used to work in product support services, and that's a group that when customers call in for support, we would sometimes have paid support options, and they would pay with a credit card. And I'm just, you know, this is many, many years ago, so this may be prior to when these standards kicked in. So this is like actually 17 years ago. This is during the Windows 95 launch. But we were actually on the same corporate network using the tools internally to process the credit card information. So have the rules changed from 17 years ago to now in regards to this, specifically dealing with this network segmentation that you're talking about?
Correct. About 17 years ago, we didn't have PCI DSS in place. So back then, it was kind of a necessary thing to do to take credit card information over the phone and then process it through the corporate network. But if we have applied the PCI DSS requirements in those days, we would have to include the entire Microsoft corporate network as part of or within the PCI DSS scope.
Gotcha. So now, you know, and I haven't worked in PSS in quite some time, but I assume that specifically PSS, they have a separate kind of networking system that manages the credit card processing versus looking up data for customer assistance for an actual technical issue.
Yeah, I would think that they either did the authorization externally. So there's several ways you can authorize or get the money approved through credit cards. So you can go to an external entity, which is also known as a service provider, and they would authorize the credit card through you know, many of the banks that they're associated with. And then that may be as simple as, you know, our team, PSS, going to a website, putting in the credit card information, processing it, and then all of the data is actually not kept by us or processed by us or stored by us, but it's done offsite via a browser or something like that. So that could be a mechanism that would allow us to do that properly.
Would another way just be as a part of the phone routing system as well? The customer selects their options and they can do their credit card charge right on the phone before they actually speak to a representative?
They could do that, yep. And that may be routed externally. I mean, in those days, I wouldn't know the specifics, but I think for these days, it would be an easy implementation of an automated system to go and authorize over the phone, and it could be a dial-out, you know, just as you would find at a restaurant or something like that. So they can authorize it that way. And,
sure.
And still be, you know, in within the PCI compliance because we're not storing credit card information
sure.
Let, you know, the external provider do that for you.
Okay. Well, I apologize. I sidetracked you a little bit when you started talking about the network segmentation. It just brought up my previous work history. So back to your network segmentation. Okay. I think you were going to go somewhere with that, so I'll let you get back to that real quick.
Yeah. So in addition to the network segmentation, I think the functional capabilities, your technical capabilities, this is kind of something that you should be doing anyway. So in addition to your internal CMDB configuration management database, I think there should be somewhere that you keep an inventory of what your technical capabilities are so that when you establish a working framework, in which I'll go through in an example. Once you establish a framework, you can actually map out your technical capabilities so that you know which technical features can meet which compliance requirements. So they kind of tie together. So we'll go into the real world example in a little bit. I have a couple other in mind for challenges. I think one of the most important one is some sort of centrally coordinated effort for PCI DSS. So I want you to kind of think about, you know, how you can integrate compliance requirements through your security policy, security standards and guidelines, and potentially through some sort of communication strategy. And I'll kind of reiterate that later as best practices. I think lastly, what we want to mention is that when you first, you know, go through the exercises of trying to get into compliance with PCI DSS, there's not going to be a lot of understanding around what compensating controls are or compensating controls that you have in place in order to meet certain deficiencies. And I think working with your QSAs, they'll be able to help you do that. So lack of compensating controls will be a challenge. But I think that's kind of a good set to work with as challenges to be aware of when you're going into this sort of effort.
Okay. Well, so over time, what kind of best practices has Microsoft pulled together for or just for dealing with this type of an experience?
So I'd like to start with a little bit of an example. I'll kind of share some key learnings that we had with our internal environment. So as a real-world problem, we actually we had a large environment which was a service provider, credit card processing service provider to our customers. It's a large environment. It has about over 100 servers and over 30 databases, as I recall. So this environment had to be upgraded. We were using an older version of Windows OS, so the entire environment had to be upgraded. And as part of the upgrade path, one of our vendors who was helping us to meet PCI DSS requirement 10 and 11.5 was not able to meet that deadline. So meaning that the new version of Windows OS was not compatible with the current third-party vendor. So that posed a big challenge for us. So what we had was we still had to satisfy PCI DSS 10 and then 11.5, but we knew we were going to fail the audit if we didn't do something about it quick. So we went back to the drawing board, and we had to kind of think quick on our feet. And I think one of the most important things to mention here is that most organizations don't work with a control framework. So a little bit of history at Microsoft. So about 5 years ago, we had a small effort, and what we wanted to do was to put into a matrix all of the common controls that we have in place. And what we did was we had correlated out of all of the compliance requirements and regulatory requirements that we were subject to. So we were considering SOX 404, some industry standards such as COBIT 4.0, ISO 17799, which is 27002 now, and also some of the controls that had to be in place from SAS 70, which is now SSAE 16. So what we did was we pulled out all of the control requirements from each one of those, and we put them in a matrix so that we established relationships between common controls. So for instance, if we have a control requirement for an antivirus or security logging, from that one control, once we put that in place, we would know that we're in compliance with PCI DSS, SOX 404, or some other compliance requirements. So that was a really good exercise for us. And we still work with that sort of framework. So we would think that's kind of a good best practice for our customers also to kind of establish their own framework, because each of the customer environment may vary from which compliance requirements they are subject to. So continuing on with the example. So with this challenge in mind, we had limited time and we had limited budget. So what we had to do was we went back and looked at our environment. The first exercise we did was we had to limit the amount of scope. So we had to segment all of the networks that had nothing to do with credit card processing in place, and we segmented off via firewall. And then from there, we inventoried what was in place and what the capabilities of the environment were. So we had in place SCCM and also Operations Manager, and we had Windows 2008 that we had upgraded to. So this was kind of a good starting point for us. In addition to that, we had SQL 2008 in place, which had some auditing capabilities. So we leveraged GPO to enable the access permissions and also the audit permissions on the file and folders. We also leveraged the SQL auditing and SQL database auditing. And all of these in audit enablement, we had to collect the data. We had to collect the alerts via operations management. So at the time, we did not have the audit collection service enabled on the agents. So we had to go through some testing before we actually did it in production. But we enabled all of the ACCS clients, the audit collection service clients, on both the Windows servers and the SQL servers. So from there, we sent all of the alerts back to a central management console. And we had the MOM, it's called the MOM security pack, which is kind of a standard package that you can download from the Microsoft website. And what it does is it specifically monitors for security events. And I will put up a list of interesting events for the audience later on.
And this is just an operations manager management pack is what you're referring to, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So with these components in place and enabling it, this really kind of helped us to meet the PCI DSS requirement 11.5, which is really what you need is some sort of a file monitoring software. So we would have to monitor for such things as application configuration files, specifically folders that are important to the application. We would monitor for changes in those folders or any deletions. So that really kind of helps you keep the integrity level of the file and folders.
So these files and folders, is this stuff that has personal, like PII, personal identifiable information for the credit card system in it, and thus to adhere to the PCI DSS standards, we have to monitor file access to see, you know, not just whether it's been deleted or modified, but who has had access to those files?
It's a little bit more complicated.
okay, great.
Most of the data that we gather as the service provider, we have to encrypt. So as we store it, we have to encrypt. Gather it, we have to encrypt it during the transport. For the implementation that we were working with, we actually encrypted the credit card information and then inserted it into a SQL database. So there was a lot of key management services in place and a lot of encryption in place, both storage and transport. What the file and folder integrity monitoring was for an example, if a configuration file for an application, that shouldn't change too much. So in those specific target files, we monitor those for any changes. So if someone comes in and makes a change to the file without proper change management, then we will get alerted on that. So that's really what we were trying to do with this implementation of all of the components, including operations management, audit collection service, Windows 2008 extended audit logging, and then also the SQL 2008 database and SQL logging. So all of this together, the result of this was that if any administrators or any management admins that would go and make changes to configuration files, as an example, we actually monitored, we had a whole list of files and folders that we were monitoring for. And if any of these critical changes take place without a proper change management, then we would fire off an alert in the operations management console. And then from there, we actually had custom management packs that would react and respond appropriately. So if you delete a file in a folder that's critical, MOM will react to it and tell SCCM to copy that file back so that you maintain your integrity on the fly. So we had automated detection control and then also automated preventative control. So it's kind of a neat little solution we put together, but we were able to do it in time to meet our PCI annual audit.
So real quickly, you know, you had mentioned that this was running in the Windows Server 2008, the SQL 2008 timeframe. So that's going back, you know, 4 years or so now, actually more than that, and depending on when it was all integrated. Have some of those processes and components, have they been updated to run now with, say, the latest versions of those System Center pieces, the latest SCCM, the latest Operations Manager, the latest SQL, and obviously the latest Server Edition?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because one of my key takeaways is that when you're working in the IT environment and when you're trying to comply to various requirements, including PCI and other regulatory requirements, those requirements actually will change and they will be redefined over time. And then as those get redefined, you also have to evolve and upgrade your technologies. And the answer to your question is that is in the process. So all of those components, including operations management, those will be upgraded as well along with the OS. But as you know, in production environments and in organizations that are quite large, those upgrade paths tend to be a little bit longer cycle than smaller organizations. So
yes, it's the Service Pack 1 dilemma, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and we'll get to it eventually, but that's definitely a plan.
So I'm actually interested in kind of a specific scenario with this now, because, you know, the example that I had given from 17 years ago was really kind of at the birth of the Internet. There's so much that's changed since then. So now we have Windows Azure. So we've got the whole cloud computing environment, which is, instead of doing, say, credit card processing on site at a traditional data center type scenario, we're now processing credit card information in a cloud environment, which that could be a data center in a cornfield in the middle of Iowa, for all we know. How does that impact things, you know, with the whole PCI DSS standards, credit card processing, everything? What is the kind of the future of doing this with cloud-based systems?
So there has been a lot of talk about cloud security and how PCI will affect, you know, those environments. I think when you're talking about virtual technologies, when you're talking about software as a service and infrastructure as a service, I think the concept that you still have to carry over is that any of those environments that are processing credit card data, whether it's virtual technology or real technology, so being, you know, real hardware in place, and while it's in the cloud, you still are subject to all of those requirements. And the implementation of virtual technologies can vary greatly, right? There are organizations out there that will, you know, mention that they are PCI DSS compliant. So I think as a customer to those sort of services, you still kind of have to do your homework, and you still are, you know, are subject to these requirements. And what I would definitely try to verify is that specifically there are many requirements that make up the entire set of PCI DSS requirements. So I would make sure that all of those requirements are set, and if not all of them are compliant, then you need to find out which requirements they are compliant to. And when you're working in an environment where such as Azure, where we provide you with interfaces or, you know, your own environment to do, you know, application or building applications and building services, your own services, you are still subject to the requirements. So we allow you to, you know, still go through the same exercises as though you would still have your own environment. So any of the QSA or QSV type of assessments, we can still allow that to happen. And I know a lot of customers are doing that now. We have ISVs that work with customers within Azure to build software applications in such a way that it would meet PCI requirements. And customers will also have qualified scanning vendors come in and scan the Azure environment. So it still has to take place. So with that in consideration, I think it would be really kind of tough to say kind of an overarching statement saying that Azure is PCI compliant. I think there's a lot of variations in what applications you can build to, you know, process credit card data. I will actually provide a chart that will kind of give you an idea of what requirements we do comply with. So, for instance, Safe Harbor, ISO 27001, and SAS 70 Type 2, and then also FISMA. We're, as an Azure cloud service, we are already compliant to those requirements. So PCI, I think, will require a little bit more of work around the specific environment, but we have the technology in place to provide those services, but it will take a little bit more work.
Yeah. So essentially what I'm hearing is we provide the Azure framework, but there could be things that people build within Azure, whether that's in a virtualized environment or just an application that runs on top of the Azure fabric, that could change what the customers or whoever the developers are doing that have to deal with from a PCI DSS perspective.
Right. Yep. Yeah, you still have to work closely with your ISV or your own internal team. And I think one of the key takeaways would definitely have to be, you know, you should, you know, as part of best practices and based on our own key learnings, when I was, you know, working with these projects to meet PCI requirements, I worked very closely with my QSA. Some QSAs are really good, some QSAs are more technical than others, so you really need to stay close to them. And, you know, they provide a good learning source for PCI DSS.
Excellent. So I assume that the PSI or PCI DSS stuff, this is an ongoing thing. It's modifying kind of as technology changes, as different types of services roll out. Is there an organization or maybe a website where people can get more information about all of this around compliance?
Sure. Yeah, you can go to you can search on Bing and search for PCI DSS and you'll find the website. But if my memory recalls correctly, it is PCIDSSstandards.org.
So. Okay. Well, maybe we can get a link up there on one of the final slides here for this. What other – do you have any kind of closing information you want to provide to us on this?
Sure. I did wanted to kind of share a little bit of best practices before we go.
Okay.
I think a couple that I've kind of highlighted through the challenges is definitely first step in exercise is to determine your PCI level. So go through and answer all the questions in the SAQ, which is also provided by the payment card industry standards, and you can download that from the PCIstandards.org. And also, once you get a level set of where you're at, what level PCI you're at, you can kind of take steps accordingly. And the next step would be to kind of limit as much as possible the amount of scope that you're subject to. So try and segment those networks off and try and isolate as much as possible your PCI VLAN so that you have a more narrow scope to work with, so that you limit the amount of effort and time that you have to work towards being in compliance. And then I think you definitely want to keep a good inventory of what controls you do have in place currently. I don't think running out and purchasing the new software technology is the answer. I think try and work with what you have. You can be creative and make things work. And when you do hit a limitation, and then that's a good point to kind of go evaluate what is available out in the market. One of the strategies that you should put in place is some sort of a control framework so that, you know, most organizations are not only subject to one compliance requirements or regulatory requirement, but may be subject to multiple requirements. So putting in a control framework would allow you to figure out a common control that would meet multiple compliance requirements. So that will, over time, save you a lot of effort. That will reduce the amount of effort. So, and then I think having a good relationship with your QSA, I think I mentioned before, is always a good best practice. QSAs may vary in their skills and focus, but having a good relationship with the QSA will help you determine, you know, and help you develop these solutions and also compensating controls. Most of the time, QSAs, if they find a deficiency, they'll also consider what you have in place as compensating controls to still help you meet that requirement or that objective. I think that's kind of a few best practices that I like to highlight, but I'll include kind of a 10-point best practice in the accompanying slide.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I did do a Bing search, and I found the site. It's actually PCISecurityStandards.org is the site. If I'm looking at it correctly, it's for the Security Standards Council, and it looks like I see cash registers and financial institutions and stuff along the lines of what we've been talking about today. So it looks like I found the right spot. So
thank you. I was close.
yeah, you are. The other one is just a landing page for a registrar. So it wasn't that hard to find, though. All right. So thank you all very much for listening in on this edition of TechNet Radio. We've been spending some time with Man Nguyen. Again, he is a principal security architect with Microsoft in the information security and risk management team, specifically the assessment, consulting, and engineering group. And we've been talking about PCI DSS standards, dealing with credit card processing for major companies, and gave some examples around what we do here at Microsoft. We'd love to see you on another TechNet Radio. My name is Chris Avis. Man, thank you again very much for your time.
Thank you.